Good morning and welcome to our worship on this second Sunday of Trinity. The Lord be with you and also with you, faithful one, whose word is life. Come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Faithful Creator, whose mercy never fails, deepen our faithfulness to you and to your living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Luke, it's Matthew. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. He saw the crowds. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into this harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Jesus gathers his 12 followers, the disciples around him, and he gives them the power to do what he has been doing, healing people of their sicknesses and disease, and speaking about the kingdom of God. We don't know when about in Jesus' ministry this occurs, but the disciples will have been following Jesus like good students, following what he does, absorbing what he says, what he does, and seeing amazing things happen. And now it's their turn. They are to go and do likewise. I wonder if they were scared, slightly unsure, a little bit anxious. Or were they quite self-assured by this point in all they could do, confident in their own abilities as well as the power that Jesus gave them to go do this? In Matthew's gospel, this is the first time that they are all named, and it's like a roll call of who's who. We have Simon, known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen, and Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist before Jesus. James and John, sons of Zebedee, were also fishermen and were part of their family's business. Philip is a Greek name, which suggests that somewhere in his upbringing, there was a bit of Greek culture around his household. Matthew was a tax collector and therefore worked for those who ruled over Israel at that time, not always taking the right amount of tax from people. Simon was known to be a zealot of the law and teachings by the Canaanite reference in his name. Judas, as we know, would go on to betray Jesus. Thomas would later doubt about the resurrection and then go on to call Jesus my God and my Lord after seeing his wounds. Bartholomew, James, and Thaddeus, we know nothing about. All came to be followers of Jesus, but all had very different life experiences. All would have had very different family situations that they had come from. Yet they've all been brought together by Jesus to one day take the good news about the kingdom of God out into the world. But for now, in this moment, in this story, it's limited to those in Israel. Just as those who are, it's just those in Israel that Jesus calls them to, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Eventually they will go further with Jesus' message of hope, of compassion, of love, about bringing life. But for this snapshot in time, it's limited to those who have not had a leader that they could look to guide them to where God would be found and teach them about who God was. So that these 12 are united in their mission to spread that love and compassion to the kingdom of God. And they probably went about it in very different ways, being completely different individuals. They'd seen Jesus work at first hand, so they'd probably taken something different from watching him, as we all would in a different situation. They will have witnessed what Jesus did and taken different aspects of it that they could put into their own ministry when copying him, when imitating him as they went out. It's a bit like me juggling. I do it a particular way. I learn a particular way. If any of you then tried to juggle, you'd do it in your own way. Wouldn't be exactly the same as me, but you'd find a way that works for you. They were no longer bystanders watching. It was time to go and to do. In some ways, it was a bit of a trial run to what they would be doing after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit that gave them courage and boldness to talk about Jesus and God. It was something that they would need to feel on the inside as well as outwardly in order to complete their task at hand. Archdeacon Charles on Wednesday evening at the church warden's swearing in or visitation, something like that, where they're sworn in for another year, he told this story. A man was looking for a job and he noticed that there was an opening at the local zoo. He inquired about the job and discovered that the zoo had a very unusual position that they needed filled. Apparently the gorilla had died, and until they could get a new one, they needed someone to dress up in a gorilla suit and act like the gorilla for just a few days. It was just to sit and eat and sleep. His identity would be kept secret, and thanks to a very fine gorilla suit, no one would ever be the wiser. The zoo offered good pay for this job, so the man decided to do it. He tried on the suit, and sure enough, he looked just like a gorilla. They led him to the cage he was to be in. He took position at the back of the cage and pretended to sleep. But after a while, he got tired of sitting. So he walked around a little bit, jumped up and down, tried a few gorilla noises. The people who were watching him seemed to really like that. And when he would move around or jump, they would clap and they would cheer. So he jumped around a little bit more and tried climbing a tree. And that seemed to get the crowd really excited. Playing to the crowd, he swung from one vine to another, from one side of the cage to the other. It's great, he thought. And because the crowd encouraged him, he got bolder and bolder in what he was trying to do. So he got higher and higher, swinging until the vine broke. And he swung up and out of his cage and landed in the lion's cage next door. He panicked. There was a huge lion, not 20 feet away, which looked really hungry. So the man in the gorilla suit completely forgot he was a gorilla and started to shout for help. Very quickly, the lion pounced on this man, held him down and said, "Will you please be quiet? We are both going to get the sack." You can't imitate a gorilla on the outside for very long if you're not a gorilla on the inside. The disciples would have had to have been 100% up for imitating Jesus, both on the outside and the inside. We can say nice things, be pleasant, but if we don't feel it from within and mean it, it's worth nothing. Imitating Jesus is something that comes from within and is shown by our actions the acts of compassion, of mercy, of love that we show to others around us. That comes from that deep-rooted faith and belief that we have on the inside of Jesus, about Jesus and about God. And because of that, we're able to do all things through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this week, let us be imitators of Jesus in all that we say and do. Amen. And none of you are going to remember that sermon. You're just going to remember the gorilla bit. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.